Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. John Vaughn. It was presented in August of 2010. The title of the message, When You Get to Heaven.
When you get to heaven, will your family be there too? Are you sure? Are you burdened? Do you need to understand what the Bible teaches about trying to reach your family and then reaching your family's family and just keep on spreading out from there? I know that many of you, no doubt, have unsaved family members and you care about them. I want to share with you tonight the story of a man who lost his family, and because he lost his family, he lost his city. It's a story of a man named Lot here in Genesis chapter 19. Beginning in verse 12 through 14, presents a question that all of us are going to have to answer someday. And I want you to consider the life of Lot as you consider what your answer will be. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They thought he was joking and didn't take him seriously. When you think about what you have in Christ, salvation, the Word of God, His promises, then you need to remember this. You're not just saved because you meant it. You're saved because He meant it. I meet Christians all the time who say, well, you know, I prayed, but I'm not sure I really meant it. Listen, whether you mean it is not nearly so important tonight as whether He meant it. And if you come to understand that He meant what He said, He that calleth unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you will call on the name of the Lord, if you will hear Him and believe Him, He'll give you eternal life. And that's His promise to you. And the problem that people have today is not that they are not earnest enough, but that they just don't believe that God meant what He said. And you and I need to convince others of what God said. You know, it's possible to be a child of God, to have known the protection and the provision of God, and yet to pervert the message of God because you're so focused on yourself that no one takes you seriously when you witness for Jesus Christ. Christians need to listen to the warnings of the life of Lot. And when you come to believe in the depth of God's love, you're going to take the gospel seriously. And when you take the gospel seriously, others are more likely to take you seriously as well. There are three things I want to show you from the life of Lot tonight that I hope will be a blessing and encouragement to your life. And the first is that believers are people of great spiritual privilege. Now, what do we mean by that? If you have entered into this family, Christians call themselves a family, and rightly so, then you have great privilege. Now, quickly, we're going to have to scan back over a little bit of the history of this man's life in order to understand what brings us to this tragic event here in chapter 19. Genesis chapter 11, verses 31 and following, talk about how Lot ended up in the same place where Abraham was. Here in 11 and verse 27, it says, Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. That's in Iraq. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, and she had no child. And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. So here's what's happening. Abram's father leaves this pagan land that he was raised in, and he takes Abram, and he takes Lot, his nephew, and they go to another place. Now later on, when Abram leaves and goes into the promised land, he takes Lot with him as well. He was as a son to him. He loved him, and he cared for him, and he wanted to encourage him and help him to have the same blessings that he knew. He was adopted into Abraham, or Abram he still is at this point, into his family. Now, when you and I talk about being adopted into the family of God, that's the same concept. We've been brought into his family. Now, the doctrine of the adoption means far more than just being brought into the family. The adoption in the book of Romans actually speaks of the glorification of the body. It speaks of the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And the reason it says that is because there's something yet to come in the Christian life. Three elements of salvation, three aspects of salvation. There's the past element, the present element, and the future element. In the past, if you're a Christian, you put your faith in Christ, and you were at that moment eternally saved from the penalty of sin. Right now, to the degree that you yield yourself to the Lord and get victory over sin, you are being saved from the power of sin. But someday, when you see the Lord, when you are raised and your body is glorified, you will be saved from the very presence of sin. Does that make sense? And this adoption, this promise that glorification is coming, is the knowledge that because we are in this family, we have a full inheritance. It's already ours. We haven't gotten it yet, but it's as good as ours, Romans 8 tells us. So when a person is legally adopted into a family, they are treated exactly as though they were a natural born child of those parents. And that's the idea here, that Lot was like a son of Abraham. He was adopted into his family. Here in chapter 12, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, and the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. So all these promises that were made to Abraham, Lot got in on them. He had these great privileges because he was in Abram's family. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance and they and that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. They took off, they went to the place God showed them, and there they were. So here's Abram, here's his family, and here's Lot. And he got in on all of this. Now all these blessings that he had and all these promises that were made to his uncle Abraham, he now was able to claim those promises for himself. Listen, when you are adopted into the family of God, you have great provision. You're a part of the family, and everything that Christ has offered to his brethren, he is offering to you, and that's yours. Abraham had riches that Lot also enjoyed, and he really did enjoy them even in this life. When we come to chapter 13, it says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents." Here's a young man who got in on the blessings of a man who trusted God. Abraham had riches, and Lot also enjoyed those riches. But you know what? Abraham had faith that Lot also should have enjoyed. He had the opportunity to watch this man's faith, and he should have learned from it and benefited from it. In chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land." So here they're having an argument and a fight about who's going to get the best grazing land. Well, let's see how that turned out. It says to us here in verse 12 of chapter 13, "Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom." And it says here, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." They had a division, and Abram, this great man of faith, this great man of God, he said, "Lot, you pick. Take what you want. You take what you want, I'll take what's left." And so Lot looked around and he saw, there's some cities down there. I'll graze my cattle down there and I'll be able to enjoy the benefits of the urban society. He wanted to be as close as possible to the Kmart. You see, he wanted the benefits and the comforts of civilization. And so he left, and then the Lord came to Abraham, and he said, "Look to the south, look to the north, look to the east, look to the west. Everything is yours. I'm going to give it to you. You let the other man choose. You gave him the benefit of the doubt. You told him, you take what you want, I'll take what's left." And the Lord said, "You know what? I'm going to give it all to you. All to you." That kind of faith. He trusted God. And here Lot was trying to gain his own advantage, and he missed out on so many blessings because he had that kind of an attitude. Adoption into the family of God provides you with great provision. But adoption into the family of God also provides you with great protection. The story in chapter 14 tells us about an event that occurred here in verse 12. We've already heard that the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they dwelt in this land. And so people came in and invaded the area, and they took Lot and all the other folks of the city and stole all the things that they have and took off with them. And here in verse 12, we enter that story when it says, "And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive..." Now look what he did. It says, "He armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them into Hobah, which is in the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people." Do you get the idea that if you're going to harass Abram's nephew, you're going to pay for it? Abram treated this man like he was his own family. He had adopted him. He let him choose. Here he was down here in Sodom, and these enemies came in, they took him captive, and Abraham said, "Well, let's go get him." And so he arms his men, he creates an army right there within his own tribes and his own family. They went all the way up to Dan, they captured them, they got all the goods, they brought them all back. And the story goes on to say that he honored the Lord in giving of all the spoils that he had received. Abraham was a great man of faith. But you see, when you desire the life of pleasure, you expose yourself to great danger. The devil will make the life of ease look comfortable, but he plans to take advantage of you. He's setting a trap for you. And it was only because of Lot's relationship to this man of faith that he had this protection that he did. Because Abraham had a dedication to a life of principle rather than a life of pleasure, he was able to have great influence. And it tells us there in verse 16, he brought all these folks back, rescued them, saved their lives and all the possessions that they had. Now, I want you to think about the difference between these two men. Lot couldn't even get his family to listen to him. In the verses we read at the beginning, he pleaded with his family, "We've got to get out of Sodom," and they thought he was joking. Abraham immediately raised an army of 318 instructed servants. He had trained these people. He had taught them discipline. He was not only the head of a household, he was the commander of an army. He was able to give an order, and there was immediate obedience. Suppose that Lot had learned from Abraham. When he had gone to his family and said, "Get up and let's get out," what do you think that would have happened if Abraham had given an order like that? I think it would have happened. Now, I want to be as discreet as I can about this, but I would encourage you to read through chapter 17 sometime. When God makes a covenant with Abraham and gives him a sign in his flesh, and Abraham goes to the 318 men who were living in his household and said, "Fellas, we're going to identify ourselves with God, and it's going to involve some surgery, so line up right over here." And they did it. I mean, you can see this man's influence and the way he can get men to do what they need to do for the glory of God. And there's no argumentation. Here's a man who was a leader by his example, by his faith, and he loved Lot, and he wanted to help Lot, and he brought him out so he could be a father to him and love him and encourage him. And this poor young man just couldn't get his eyes off the physical things of life and the pleasures and the comforts of living in the city, and he completely missed out on what really mattered, spiritual things. Believers are people of great spiritual privilege, and Lot was exposed to this great privilege, and yet he missed it. Well, there's another thing I want you to realize. Believers are people of great spiritual responsibility. Not only do you have all these great privileges in Christ, but you have some serious responsibilities as a result of it. We see this responsibility. And we see that Abraham knew the power of God's promises, both for blessing and for cursing. But he also knew the power of godly prayer. The reason that Abraham was such a man of prayer is because he knew he had a God of promise. We read of him in Romans that he staggered not at the promise of God. His faith was imputed to him for righteousness. Let's read about it. Verse 16, he's been visited by these two angels. And now they're ready to leave. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" What a prayer. And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there should be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will yet speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there should be 20 found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 20's sake." And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, but I will yet speak this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. You see how he negotiated for Lot in that prayer, pleading with the Lord? "Oh, Lord, if we could find 50 righteous, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10? And the Lord said, "I won't destroy it for 10's sake." Now, when Lot got to 10, he stopped. And he thought, surely Lot can find 10. Surely Lot can have enough influence on 10 people, and he can save this city. God knew what he was going to do, and Abraham believed him. And the reason Abraham prayed for Lot is because he took God up on his word. He not only believed the promises of prosperity to his own nation, but he believed the promises of judgment that were yet to come. If you and I really understood God's promise of judgment, that would verify that we believe God's promise of deliverance. And we would plead against those that are standing under the condemnation and the judgment of God. But unfortunately, Lot is the eternal example of the believer who lives for his own comfort rather than for God's glory. While Abraham prayed, Lot played. In chapter 19, there in verse 17, it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, these two angels took Lot and his immediate family. They brought them out of the city, brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." Verse 18, and Lot said unto him, Oh, not so, my Lord. Not so, he says. He can't accept the reality of what he's dealing with. He begins to negotiate and plead with him that perhaps he could stay in a little city nearby. "This little city, it's not far. Let me go there. Don't send me out into the wilderness. Don't make me go to the mountains. Lord, please, if I'm going to lose my home, then let me go and find another home and another place of comfort. If I've found grace, well, then let me stay in this little city." It's just a little city, he says in the next couple of verses. Come down to verse 26. He told him, "Don't you get out, don't look back." In verse 26, it says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." What are believers supposed to be in their city? Matthew 5 tells us, salt and light. Do you know God will use us as a good example, or he'll use us as a bad example? Lot didn't want to be used as a good example, so God has eternally recorded for us his life as a bad example. And his wife is a perfect example of how that works. They wouldn't have a salty influence in Sodom. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Whatever it was that destroyed that city, a nuclear blast or whatever it must have been, immediately she lost her life. And as a testimony, even to this day, the Lord said to those who have the same kind of an attitude, "Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Turn away from your sin and don't look back." In verse 29, it says, "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Why did God save Lot's life? Because of Abraham's prayers. Now you take confidence from that. If there's somebody that you're praying for, then there's somebody that God laid on your heart. And God lays a prayer burden on your heart because he intends to do something about it. And he wants you to participate in the blessing by believing what he said. What we're talking about tonight is not you losing your salvation. We're talking about you learning to pray for the salvation of others and not giving up on those that you love, remembering the lesson of Abraham. Turn with me to Matthew 11, verses 23 and 24. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What's he saying? Listen, Sodom, the only witness they had was Lot. He was not that effective. But this city had Christ himself. You have something that's even better than an eyewitness account, according to the Bible, and that's the Bible itself. Now, if that kind of accountability is stated in the Bible, what kind of accountability do you and I have who have the Word of God and the promises of God's answers to our prayers? Lot really might have saved his city. He certainly should have been able to save his family. Verse 12, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. And so he went to appeal to his family. How many did Abraham know was in his household? And how far did Abraham go until he stopped asking and pleading with God? There were 10 that Lot should have been able to persuade. And if he had been able to persuade those 10, God had promised Abraham, I will not destroy it for 10. But when Lot went to plead with his family, they could not take him seriously because he didn't take the promises of God seriously. When you get to heaven, will your family be there too? Will you have any there besides yourself?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, When You Get to Heaven, from Dr. John Vaughn. It was originally presented in August of 2010 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special services at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. Thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.